Thanks for tuning in to Jidan Tantra. In this episode, we discuss the preparations needed for the journey, but a journey to what, for what, and why. We also discuss conditions of worth, having the freedom to choose, and the possibility for radical change. Enjoy the episode.
Welcome to Jidan and Tantra, spirituality with a twist. The podcast that takes Tantrism, Buddhism, Taoism, Sufism, Kabbalism, Shamanism, Chinese medicineism, and all of the other isms we've been influenced by, and blends them into a tall, crisp, cool cocktail your spirit has been longing for.
I want you to get together.
Now, isn't that refreshing?
I want you to get together.
Hey, fellow GNTers, those of us like our spirituality with a twist. So Daniel and I have been doing these episodes that are on nine things that can fuck up your life, which is also the title of our pending book, pending in sometime in the offing.
Yeah, right. In the future.
But pending closer and closer all the time.
Yeah. At some point, it's going to be impending, you know?
Yes. Ominously impending.
Yeah, that's correct.
We were going through like the individual ones, and then we kind of took a little like, hey, hold on a second. Let's really look. It's about these nine Taoist obstacles that they list, if you've been paying attention to the episodes. And we're kind of doing a little bit of a two-parter because we took a little time out and said, hey, what are these obstacles actually towards? What are these obstacles standing in the way of? We want to just talk about that a little bit. So we did the first part last week. This is kind of like the second part of this thing. But, you know, I think from your point of view, Daniel, you had a really kind of like epiphanous moment about this. And we were like, well, let's just start with that, right?
Yeah.
And what you thought this whole this project is kind of about for you. And anyways, you're going to do it in your own words, obviously. So I'll throw it back to you. And
Yeah. So you know, fortunately, over the last 6 months in particular, maybe 8 months, but especially in the last like 2 months, I have been talking with people about where they're at in their own personal process, their own journey, if you will. And specifically what I'm talking about is people who are either beginning to meditate or wanting to begin to meditate and looking for a place to start. So a couple episodes, we talked about one of my clients who was interested in doing TM. And so we talked about it and we kind of, you know, we talked about it in the episode, the kind of pros and cons about it and so on and so forth. And so people can check that episode out. I forgot what I titled it, but you know, whatever. It's one of the more recent ones. And so he was talking to me, and then one of my brother was talking to me, and just, you know, some other people who are closer talking to me about their practice or desire to begin one. And they're asking me for materials. And of course, we've done so many episodes on this in particular throughout the years, you know, because we're, like we've said before, we're coming up on year number four in July here. So we'll have to do like something different when that time comes. Maybe we'll do a live or something like this, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways, but you know, it's nice to give somebody something like, here's a thing, or you can order this thing and it's going to kind of be a thing for you. And so as we're going through this kind of like public brainstorming, if you will, I have been, you know, searching for the intention of the book, really, at least from my perspective. And I understand what the intention is overall is for the sort of development and freedom and helping of people, you know, in various ways. But for each project, at least for me, I have to have like a through line, you know, and it came this week via my work with other people. And so I, you know, kind of put pen to paper, and I'm not going to do this for everything that I write, you know what I'm saying? But like, for this, because it's important, and it, like for me, it's like really the beginning, which is what you did was take a time out from what we were doing and talk about this. And really, it's a condensation of all of our, you know, work on this podcast is going to be in the book. But anyway, so here it is. I said that in my mind. I said the intention of this book is born out of a desire to be of assistance to those who seek. And while I cannot tell you the destination, I can only hope to prepare you for the journey. And I feel very deeply about that statement because I don't think that I can guide anybody to do anything that they're not wanting to do already, number one. And number two, and more importantly, I don't want to. You know what I'm saying? So if someone comes and they want to learn how to meditate or whatever, they're going to have their own reasons for doing that. Now, of course, I can give some classical teachings and say, this is what this was used for, or this is what I believe this was used for, and this is how you might benefit from it. Okay, fine. But ultimately, someone's path is going to be their own, and it's going to take different twists and turns, just like mine has, just like yours has, and just like how, you know, all of our listeners has. But what I can do is I can help somebody prepare for what is inevitably going to be along the way. And what's inevitably going to be along the way is these nine obstacles, and then our view on them, and specifically from our lives, and then giving some techniques on how to deal with them for people's lives. So it's like, you know, someone is saying they're going to go for a hike that you've done before or that you're currently doing. And you could say, well, based on that hike, you're going to need this raincoat and this pocket knife and this little shovel. And here's some, you know, I don't know, trail mix and some, you know, whatever. Right. And you give people tools and maybe some guidance at the waypoints. And like, I don't know what else you could do, because I can't hold everybody's hand all day long. But at least if I can, at a bare minimum, if I could prepare somebody from what I have seen as obstacles, legitimate obstacles to from life to the person, and I can and I could be there at that moment, or we could be there at that moment, you know, then I don't know what other gift I could possibly give somebody that I can't, if I couldn't be there myself for them at that time. You know what I'm saying? That we can coalesce it down into this particular thing. I mean, that's what we're doing with the podcast, but in this case, we're going to make it into like a small little thing. And I thank everybody for listening to my tirade here. So
I wonder how small it's going to be. I don't know.
I don't know, but small,
kind of talky.
It'll fit in your hand. You know what I mean? It's not going to require a radio flyer to drag around, you know,
not going to have to be taking up a big amount of space on some old school mainframe computer. Like, you know, yeah.
No,
the path thing is interesting. When you were talking about that, I have a friend now lives in Hawaii, and he was going to like stop being a scientist, and he was going to be like, I guess, kind of a mountaineer, I guess you would say.
Sounds fun.
And he was going to, like, you know, take people on these like what were kind of like complicated hikes. And I was down in Hawaii visiting him some years ago when he was really in, like, he ultimately didn't do it, but, you know, he was thinking about doing that very seriously. And so there are these books written that are just like, here's this hike, and here's where people fell off here.
Boom.
And here's where people fell off here.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's some serious shit. His name is David. So I was like, that's some serious shit, David. And he was like, yeah, you know, it's, there are entire books written around, you know, that whole thing. You know, when you start talking about paths and trail mixes, I started thinking, oh yeah, there's books written just around that. You know, other people have done this hike. This is where somebody fell, you know, or this is where something happened. I mean, yeah, it's an inspiring idea of what to do, right? In something like this, right?
Yeah.
I suppose it's something we both think about, probably people who are listening think about too, like, how do I manifest this out, right? Like, what's the right way to try to express these things? You feel some internal drive to make some difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you do it? And then if you can kind of like, well, I guess what you're talking about, if you can capture it in kind of like a mission statement.
Yeah.
Right? Like that one sentence is a mission statement.
Yeah.
Yeah. We won't do a podcast in every sentence we write.
No.
Sentence by sentence, celebrate each one. It's not that easy to write this shit, let's be honest, you know. No. Just to like put pen to paper is a big deal, right?
It is. And look, you and I mean, I'm gonna talk to the audience just directly, right? For those of you who are listening to this, it's, you know, it's not a huge audience, and some people we know, quite a few people we know personally, and some people we don't know at all. We are completely aware that there is a world happening, you know. We don't discuss it on here because we know that there's plenty of places that you can get all of that shit, you know, right? Whatever political side of the spectrum you're on, I don't particularly care. You know, I mean, I do, I want people to be pro humanity, you know what I'm saying? And taking care of their community, whether they're spiritual or just people in your neighborhood, you know what I'm saying? Like I care for that. But it's, I don't know.
I think like at some point in my life, I said, well, you know, why am I here? Why is anybody here? And I decided it's because we're trying to spiritually progress. So I just came down with that as the idea. No matter who we are, no matter where we at, you know, some of us has easier circumstances. Some of us have circumstances that are really difficult and even tragic, but we're all kind of chipping away.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And maybe in one life, we're the person who has it easier and another person has it harder, but maybe in a different life, that person will have it easier and we're the one who's going to have it harder. You know, you have to like think that way, you know?
Yeah, that's yeah, and I think that's probably part, that's part probably part of my
But we're
point.
all like hopefully chipping away, right?
Yeah,
It's
and that,
something.
yeah, we want to be a motivating force to chip away. So I, you know, I'm not, we don't bring people the salacious news of the day, you know what I'm saying? But the tools that we are, you know, trying to share and the insights that we're trying to help people, you know, to unlock will change the way that you are and the way that you see things. The rest of the world, I can't do anything with, you know, I'm trying to just deal with my own inner world as best as I can. And it's not that I'm a isolationist in a sense. Eric and I have both consciously chosen not to enter into a monastery or not to do those things. And that we're trying to share and spread some things that have, you know, what we believe is positive qualities for people's lives. So I'm saying all this just to let people know that like, we're not ignorant to the world. We're very engaged in it. We understand it. We know we're human beings. Eric has trials and tribulations in you know, work and professional life. Daniel has trials and tribulations in his work and professional life. It's a, you know, it's a process. But at the same time, we identify the things that have meaning for us, you know, psycho-spiritually and personally, and we carve out the time to do those things. And we're very lucky to be able to have found things that are inspiring for us in our lives. And we prioritize them and we repeat them over and over and over again and try and find the jewels within them, which is, and then share, right? That's the kind of thing, is that we're sharing things that have meaning for us. You know what I'm saying? So we certainly have individual passions for, you know, music and sports. And sometimes we joke about that once in a while, you know, being terrible Bears fans, but like this to me has more meaning. This has more meaning.
It's kind of like an existential move, right? At some point in your life, you might kind of say to yourself, like, okay, I'm going to decide that this is sort of the truth of things. This is the existential truth of things. And I'm going to frame it like we're all chipping away towards this thing,
yeah.
No matter what life is giving to us. And sometimes life gives things that are very unfair. Right.
Yes. Yep.
And tragically unfair. And I think these Taoist things recognize that. I mean, in that mm-hmm. point five that we spent time on, part of it's being tortured internally by your mind, and part of it's unfortunately being tortured by external circumstances that can be horrific and unfair and unjust.
Yeah.
You can care about those things, and it's all right and good to try to like do what you can within your powers to try to change them and stop them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But there's also the framing of like, okay, no matter who we are, no matter where we are in the value system that I came to in the end, it was something like, okay, we're all chipping away, right?
Yeah.
Regardless of the circumstances that we're being presented with. And that's, I guess, like, okay, so for me, when you were talking about this stuff, this was your thought of the day, right? Kind of framing this in a way. I guess the big thing you're saying is something like, I can't tell you where your end path is either.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Well, what's been interesting for me in the episode like that we started last week that we're following up here is at least we can start throwing out some ideas as to what those might mean.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
So I think, and I've been talking with people about this, and it's, again, we're always doing this, right? This is part of our life. We talk with each other in this thing.
Yeah.
And then we talk with other people about the same shit, right?
Yeah.
But they mutually inspire. You know, what we do here inspires the conversations that we end up having with people during the week.
And vice versa.
And then what we talk about with people, vice versa. So as far as what we were where we got on it last week was like the idea of like authenticity can be a goal, right? And then you would see these obstacles as being impediments to authenticity, right? Mm-hmm. And I was really drawing a lot on like Carl Rogers for this, one of my favorite psychologists. And then it hit me, Daniel, he would call these nine obstacles sort of conditions of worth, right? I did a little scare quotes thing for that, where the conditions of worth end up biasing how you think about yourself and who you are, and they distort you, right? And I thought, well, that's close. That's really close to these obstacles ideas, right? Carl Rogers' conditions of worth. And then with the recognition that those things tend to happen from people who are close to you too. Like in these obstacles, there's your family of origin could create the conditions of worth for you. They might be the obstacle, unfortunately, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Or your current relationship and family situation, unfortunately, might be the obstacle, right?
And
that might be the thing standing in the way. Yeah.
And from, adding on that, like one of the perspectives, I like to bring is the shamanic perspective, the one of genealogy, is that like they are a product of their family and their family and their, you know what I'm saying? And the trauma that they have may have been through and what, and how all those tendencies and ideologies get passed forward. So that like a scarcity mindset, while, in today's current economic, I don't know, environment might be detrimental to one's ultimate growth, if you look at it from like a capitalistic kind of perspective. But for many, many, many generations, having that mindset probably is what got them through. So what once was a means for survival now keeps those, people who are, entrepreneurial or who would love to be entrepreneurial, it keeps them trapped in a smaller cycle because that feels safer to them than taking, a potential business leap, if we're going to look at it from a,
Or like a
monetary perspective.
psycho-spiritual leap too.
Sure. Yeah.
If I were to
Yeah.
take a psycho-spiritual leap, I'm too
Yeah.
afraid to do it. I'm standing at the end of the pool, but I won't jump in. Like I'm right there, but I'm not going to do it because I'm scared. And the funny thing about this, like the cleverness of these fucking Taoists, is that's the first obstruction. That's it. The scarcity mindset, right? The first one is about like scared to being too scared for your own security, right? And if we go back to the Carl Rogers thing, one of his favorite psychologists was this psychologist named Otto Rank. We haven't talked about him too much. But he talked about exactly that what will hold people back will be that fear, it'll stop you moving forward. Fear is the obstacle. So I think that's almost the one, and it depends on how you phrase these things, right? You can riff on them a little bit. But I think like that's kind of the first riff, scarcity mindset, fears around that. And I mean, it's very insightful what you're saying, of course, this idea of like that can be coming from, generations within the essence that you're inhabiting now, talking Chinese medicine, that you have your essence. It's kind of like your genetic material almost from a Chinese
Your
medical point of
genetic
view.
history.
Yeah, it's carried there, and then your spirit enters in, your spirit has a history, and then they meet. But you might be carrying that sort of within the Jing of, this essence or this Jing, this Chinese term for like sort of the genetics of the person, right? It goes back through the lineage.
I
Yes.
guess
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
that, I mean, it doesn't get brought up too much anymore because I don't have such a fatalistic kind of a view, but people, some people have used to be more popular in asking, people have asked me, do I believe that things are predetermined, that they're fated, that your genetic material mixing with the line of experience from your soul are supposed to encounter and then do the things that they do. And that's supposed to be the way that it is. And whatever happens is now immediately written, and that's what was supposed to be. I'm not so entirely sure that I take that attitude, because what other attitude would you take? That happened, so it was supposed to happen. Okay, I guess. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't really extrapolate anything that I could predict moving forward, other than, okay, I guess that's supposed to happen. So here it is again. You know what I'm saying? Like that argument sort of, is a circular argument. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's kind of like, I mean, a lot of evolutionary things can be like that too. Why did that animal grow that huge snout? Well, because it helped it do something. Like it just goes around in a circle. It's a little bit of a circular logic or something to it, right? Turned out that way. So that's how it was supposed to be.
That, exactly.
Okay. That's why that monkey has a big ass. Okay. Novel backstory of like to explain why that's the case. I don't know. Maybe the baboon isn't the best example of that. But this is a riffy episode, but Sartre talked about that, the great French philosopher. And I always think about him when these kind of things come up, because I probably have more of that attitude, maybe what you have too. And maybe I've gotten more extreme of with it over time, but his big point was, it used to be that we tried to explain everything because God said it was so, right? And God had everything planned out in some way, where I don't think either one of us believe in the divinity in that sense anymore. Do you? I don't
No.
think of it that way. Even in the way when I think about the source of everything, I don't think of it as like this architectural planner that built everything to, I just don't think that's how it
No,
is.
I know you're like a man with his hand in the puppet.
Yeah, we're all just like stringing. I don't think that's how it is.
No, I would be a sock puppet though if I was going to be a puppet for sure.
Oh yeah. I might be
Yeah.
like a Kermit the Frog here. I might be
Yeah,
some
okay.
like Muppet thing.
A Muppet. Okay. I just want like one googly eye
Little
and like
stick, you know, on the hands.
that's it.
Be Grover or something. Yeah, it's like I think those kinds of spiritualities, and this is interesting because there are different kinds of spiritualities with this. There are probably some that
Absolutely.
talk that way,
Yeah.
but I don't. I kind of, I'm not into those spiritualities. I'm more into the ones that tend to emphasize like, no, there's a freedom here,
Yeah.
right? A freedom of play and experience and choice, and you're operating within that. And it's, you know, kind of a big deal in, well, even in Kabbalah or something. There's a certain point where they're like, okay, you know, even if there you think of a divinity in that way, there's still like the divinity gave you freedom. That's what the divinity did, you know, so that
Yeah.
now you can kind of work your way through,
And
you
that's a,
know.
this is a good point, actually. You know, sometimes we riff and come back to good points, and I think we did actually. I had a conversation with a friend of mine a few months ago. We were headed into the city. We spent some time in the car driving, and he was like, you know, how do you know that you have freedom? Well, do you believe you have freedom? And then how do you know it? I said, well, because I could jump out of this car right now. And
Yeah.
he's like, but you know, do you, can you really? Would you? I said, well, I could, but I'm not going to, because then I'll be, we're on a freeway. I'm going to get run over by a bunch of other cars, but I could do it.
Yeah.
And if not in my right state of mind, there's a chance that I might. And if I wanted to end my life, then I would be able to do that. But I have the choice to do that. And the same thing goes for all the things that we do. And I more and more as I'm thinking about it, it really is a gift, actually, to have that mindset that you believe that you are at least co-authoring your own story. I mean, we've talked about, I used that language specifically in previous episodes, but it really is. I don't think that many people, not, I can't say many, I don't know what percent, you know, but like, I don't know how many people have that ideology, that mindset that like you are free to do as you would like.
It's amazing how these things double back because that's one of the things I had as a goal as far as these obstacles go. Like, how do you start setting what might you might think of as being your goals? And part of it was like I was going to go to like existential stuff. It starts this existential philosopher, but you're talking about freedom, and that's his wheelhouse, right? And so he's definitely on the point of like, no, we have freedom in a moment by moment way, because it's true. If I decided I didn't want to, I could slam the lid on this computer and say, fuck this shit and walk away.
Done.
Who could stop me? Nobody. You
No.
know, I don't choose to do that because I enjoy talking to you and I want to do this podcast. But if I decided I didn't want to do something, I could go. And he makes that big point of like the fact that we think we can't is our own delusion.
Yes.
Now, where that fits in those obstacles could go in many ways, right? Maybe you
Yes.
don't do it because you think that you have a scarcity mindset and you're driven by fear, obstacle number one. Maybe you don't do it because you think your family would disapprove of what you're doing, obstacle number two. Maybe you don't do it because you think your partner or, you know, your family now, you know, wouldn't allow you to do that, you know, so you don't, or your work, obstacle number four. Like it's interesting the way it plays out, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, if you get to obstacle number five, the thought that you can't do that, even the thought that you're not free to do that, I think in the kind of spirituality that we're talking about, or the kind of psychology and philosophy, that's a delusion.
Yeah.
I mean, I could quit my job tomorrow.
You absolutely could.
Nothing, you know, I don't want to because I like it, but I could,
Yeah.
you know, and that's what Sartre kind of points out, you know, that the fact that we think that we can't is like some lie that we tell ourselves. And so, in a certain sense, I mean, that's another one I added to the list of what are these things obstacles for? They're obstacles towards this experience of, I have it written right here, personal, authentic freedom and meaning. You know? So, if I really thought that like doing this podcast wasn't meaningful, I could quit it, you know? And I would quit it, but I don't. I don't think that's true. So, I don't. You know, I think it does have meaning. You know, or if I thought some other part of my life didn't have meaning and wasn't valuable and adding to me or adding to others or whatever yardstick you want to do, you could walk. And that you think you don't is an is illusion. And I think his point is like you used to blame it on God, right? God won't let me do it. And then, you know, some people veered away from God and they got more into the sciences, the way he's analyzing things. And now you say biology won't let you do it. But biology can't stop you. You know what I mean? You could do something different in a moment by moment way. I've had this like discussion with people in the same way, Daniel. Yeah, yeah. I hear exactly what you're talking about. So you had something else you wanted to say about it. Yeah.
I sort of lost it there. It's all good.
Oh shit. Okay.
No problem. That's fine.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, that's like, I guess we were talking about like God or the sciences holding you back. Does that click it back?
No.
Okay. Anyway, so I mean, like that was one of the things I was thinking about, you know, like if you look at these obstacles, what are the obstacles towards?
Oh yeah, I got it now.
Oh shoot. Yeah. Before we
lose it. Yeah. So we're talking about obstacles to people's growth, but inherently, like, again, we're going to use the path as an analogy, right? Like, just so imagine a walking path, and these are going to be things that are inevitably going to come up in your way, or that you might have put in your own bag and that are slowing you down, depending on what image works best for you, you know? But ultimately, I think you and I, we haven't really talked about it specifically, you and I believe that ultimately there is a movement towards freedom now, or towards, you know, whatever. And maybe that'll be the next episode, will be what is freedom, what is enlightenment, what is, you know, and we could talk about the things that you had mentioned previously, right? Individuation, whatnot. Yeah. So a little teaser for next time, because we do want to say, okay, what is this for? Obstacles to what, you know?
Yeah.
But that, like, you are inevitably going to have to go through them because they are learning potential. They are learning opportunities. Mm-hmm. So we're not giving people these things as a warning to avoid. It's not that. It's to say, like, wake up. This is what's happening to you right now. Understand what the situation that you're in. So instead of being inundated by whatever, confusion, fear, anger, whatever, responsiveness, reactivity, whatever it is, say, no, this is what happens. This has been discussed long ago, and now here we are discussing it again in order to hopes to illuminate that situation for yourself, so that you don't, you know, continue to rinse and repeat the same cycles over and over again, that there are things that you can do to free yourself. Maybe not in the immediate moment, right? So, you know, Eric is talking about, like, he could quit the podcast at any time, and we could quit our job at any time. And this is true, but some people have, you know, responsibilities, other humans who rely on them, as you do, you know. Your son is still, you know, a young, bustling fellow making his way through the chess world. You know, he can't drive himself to these things. Eric, you know, daddy's...
I wouldn't be able to, like, pay for the gas.
Right, yeah.
He could. Quite expensive now.
He's not earning enough with his chess winnings to even pay for his gas fare. You know?
Yet, Daniel. Yeah. Okay,
soon enough, Eric's going to say, hey, little guy, go ahead, pump it up and use your card this time, you know?
Yeah. And I'll be just like sitting around meditating, and you can,
Right. But so, you know, so you could quit, but you have other responsibilities that you have to tend to.
Like, you know, Sartre's point is that, like, to think that you can't, you really could. You might choose not to.
Correct.
But you could.
Right. Yeah. And but the point is that you're choosing not to. And so what I'm saying is that, like, okay, but he's not going to be a young pup forever. You know, God willing, he grows, graduates high school, goes off to college, or, you know, becomes a chess pro and, you know, whatever, takes care of himself. You're free to do whatever you want. And I had this conversation, Eric, with many, many, many of my clients, because I'm lucky enough to be, in the position where I get to work with people who are, you know, some executives and business owners and what, like, and whatnot, and can actually retire, not at like 75, you know, they just work themselves to the bone and just, like, you know, pass out on the couch all day long. You know what I mean? Like, that's not a retirement. That's just waiting for death, essentially. But they have, many of them, the majority of them, unfortunately, have a very difficult time moving into a retirement kind of life phase, because they haven't cultivated themselves. And this is one of the obstacles, right?
That's, you will, like, obstacle number 8 or 9 or something, right?
The fifth one, actually. The fifth one is the one that we get stuck on, because it says, in your youth, you were unwilling to cultivate, and in old age, you continue to injure your spirit. You know?
Yeah, Oh no, they kind of like do it again later on, Daniel. It's really funny because later on they say, like, "I'll get to it next year. I'll get to it next year.
No,
I'll get
yeah,
to
the procrastination.
it." Yeah, that one too later on.
Yeah, and so what we're saying is that, like, even if you have responsibilities and you could choose to quit whatever you're doing because you don't enjoy doing it, but you have to because people will starve and, police might come for you at some point, you know what I'm saying? Unless you leave the country or whatever. But so you're going to choose to continue. Don't wait for the moment that you hit rock bottom to then look up and see the light, and say, oh shit, I got to change. No, it's like, put the work in now, even if it's just a little bit at a time. And when the opportunity comes, when you get that break that you can breathe, right? Your kids are graduated from high school, or something happens and your financial situation changed and you have a little bit of breathing room, that like now you might have a little bit more time. And what are you going to do with it? If you haven't cultivated anything, you're looking at a virgin planter box with no seeds planted at all. And so we're hoping to help people to foster the cultivation of themselves in that way by discussing the obstacles and the life circumstances that are literally going to be in your way.
It's interesting to me because there's a range of attitudes here, and what I kind of have learned about myself, partially doing the podcast, partially from interactions with other people who are important to me, is, and it does matter in how we talk about these things here. Like, I'm a little bit more kind of radical on these things than other people. So I really am more like, these things are things that you try to catch early and solve them, because they can ensnare you for sometimes big chunks of your life. So my attitude is probably more radical than other people, and I'm willing to kind of own that. Sometimes we'll have conversations and it'll be like we're talking about a range of people who have different needs at different times, which I'm willing to accept too, right? People are in different places in their life and they're doing different things. But I suppose in a certain sense, because of who I am and because of my personal experiences around these things, my attitude is like tended to veer more towards a radical thing. And I've been talking with people about that within the last couple of weeks. I'm like, well, okay, listen, I'm going to own this. And I'm just going to say my attitude towards things is face them now, And I was trying to think, where does that come from? And I was thinking a lot about like the Buddha story. And that story has taken on new meanings to me again. So if you don't know the Buddha story too much, it's really that he leaves the palace. Like, he's raised to be a prince. He's going to be the king, and he leaves. And actually, it's like a very, very complicated story, in the sense that he has a wife and a kid. He has a whole life, and he leaves, And I've had different thoughts about that recently that I've been talking with people about it, where I first was like, man, like when I first heard it, I heard it from Joseph Campbell. And it sounded like a myth, when he was explaining it. So I took it with that feeling, of it being like an educational myth. And I'm cool with educational myths. I like a good educational myth, But as time has gone on, and maybe with like life experience, I've looked back at it in like different ways. So more recently, I was talking with some people about this, including Ryan Davenport, our anthropologist on retainer. And I was going, well, how does this story strike you? Because like that dude must have been, if you make that real, that dude must have been pretty disgusted on some level with his situation to do that. It's such a radical, dramatic thing to do if you make the story real, and you don't make it about this magical figure, you make it about an actual human. That's a radical thing. Like, he must have really like wanted to get out really badly, And he must have like thought to himself, I better get out of this now, before I have to be the prince or the king, or before, like, he made a radical, so it's a radical position, And I also, thought about it in terms of like, that element of him, like he must have had really, these, negative feelings about what was happening if you make that real. But I also thought, in a certain sense, he's advising like a radical change, He's really saying like radically change yourself. And I think it does matter for how we write the book and how we do the podcast, because sometimes I'm like, I'm more of an advocate towards that. I am really, I'm like, change this stuff, change it, before it gets too sticky. And I was thinking about the story today, and I was thinking, okay, like he didn't just go and become like the prince in the kingdom, like the next kingdom over.
Right.
He didn't go, well, I'm leaving this kingdom, I'll go take on the same gig next door. And I was thinking, you know, that's so often what people do. They go through and they're like, I mean, you see it all the time. I do too. They're working in one corporate job and it makes them miserable. I know this is actual folks I'm talking about. And they go, well, I'm going to change this one. I'll take this next one. And you're like, ugh, the same shit that you didn't like over there is going to be the same shit over here. It's not that different. You really haven't changed it, you know? Or someone's in one relationship and they break it up or they divorce and then they immediately do the other one, the next one, the same. You're like, you haven't changed it. You haven't done what Buddha says, you know, around these obstacles. So this is really about these obstacles too. Because you can see in what Buddha does is he goes boom and he blows them up. You know, it's a much more kind of radical thing. I'm not saying that's appropriate for everybody. I agree that it's not. But I like to voice that, like, you know, and what we get a chance to talk about, just say, yeah, there is something about that. You can go through and you can do the more radical thing. And what's interesting is like Buddha does that, you know? And that, like, there's something about that that really, like, I think of a lot with the work that we're doing, you know? That if you put the Play-Doh in the square little mold and you pull it out and you're like, well, I don't like the shape of that Play-Doh. And then you mush it up again and you take a different thing of Play-Doh and maybe you change it from like tan to beige, but you put it in the square hole again, you're going to get a square.
Correct.
It's going to pop out as a square again, you know? And I'm thinking about people I know in my actual life where I'm like, wow, you went right from one corporate thing right to the next corporate thing. You didn't really change it, you know? So you didn't get out of that obstacle. If it's number four, didn't really fix it. You went from obstacle number four to a different version of obstacle. You know what I'm trying to say?
I hear you.
It's a different version of obstacle number four. So let's go and look at obstacle number four and rethink it, you know? I've seen it over and over. And it kind of like, it's one of those things where it kind of like you feel like you care about people and, you know, you want the best and it's upsetting, you know? And you feel compassion and you feel love and you feel these feelings. You also feel a little frustration, you know, because you're like, ah,
Totally,
he did this
yeah.
again. You know, like that relationship is exactly the same as this one. You just didn't really change it. So you never really changed obstacle number three. You never did it, you know? And I somehow, when I was thinking about our episodes, like, you know, I knew we were gonna be talking about this stuff today. I was like, yeah, that's like so much at the heart of this, right? And I got to the idea, like, yeah, the Buddha story is making that strong point. Now we're not all gonna like blow up our lives and head out into the Indian like wildness searching for teachers and, you know, doing what the Buddha did. But like it struck me like it is a more radical point of view. And I think I somehow internalized that, first hearing it from Joseph Campbell and then taking that on. And maybe you're not gonna do that with all parts of your life. That wouldn't be reasonable. Or if you have responsibilities that you can't keep, you can't just go and blow up your job, you know? True. But like, even if the weird thing about it is, even if like we get the freedom of choice, right? Even when people have the choice to do it different, a lot of times they don't. That's the obstacle part too, if that makes sense what I'm trying to say. Then you realize, well, that's something in you. You have a problem with this obstacle because you just went from that version of the same one to another version of the same one. So that's something that you can look at in yourself and you can say, ah, you know, okay, this is not happening because I'm compelled to do this because of important circumstances. I have responsibilities in the outside world. No, this is something I have to look at in me. I have an issue around this. So we can all maybe at the end of these nine look in the mirror and say, oh shit, you know, I am repetitive on that one. You know, I am repetitive on that one. And I mean, we all can do it. I can do it. You can do it. We can all look at this, you know. Like I could look at myself and go, yeah, shit, I do that repetitively, don't I? So anyways, I was thinking about that part of it too. And it did vibe with what you're talking about with freedom. You know, because sometimes it is like, I have the choice to like change it, but I'm not going to do that because I have these responsibilities. And I want to keep them perfectly legit. Right. But sometimes it's not that. Sometimes it's more like, why do I keep doing this one again? You know? And then it's a different way of thinking about that obstacle. Then it's in a certain sense, is that, I guess that gets to your question, is that choice anymore? If I could just keep redundantly doing the same thing? I don't know. And then that becomes samsara, right? The wheel keeps spinning and the same fucking numbers keep appearing over and over again. You get a little suspicious of that roulette wheel.
I just you had somebody reach out to me the other like 3 days ago and say this very thing, that they're ready for a change. Kids are graduating high school and they've been doing the same job for like 18 years and they cannot imagine doing the same thing anymore. It doesn't seem, life doesn't seem real because it's so repetitive and monotonous for them. And so yeah. they're looking for a deep change. And, you know, they call me.
And more power to them.
Yeah. I'm like, man, welcome. Come on. Yeah. You know, let's go. And so, it's conversations like, you know, what you're saying like this is what we carry this around. You know what I mean? We're always carrying this with us. And so, and we do hope that the conversations that, you know, you and I are having are legitimately like affecting people and the conversations and the thoughts that they are having and what they are sharing in their lives, you know? And it would also be nice if they would share our work with other people. And you can do that by, you know, telling them about our podcast. You can also, you know, like, subscribe and, you know, comment on the YouTube video or leave us an email at jinandtantra@gmail.com or hit us up on the Instagram, Jin and Tantra Podcast. You could certainly do any or all of those things. You could leave the podcast a like or review on Apple Podcasts. It helps out helps us out in that part. And the little algorithm gets us noticed by other people, you know. So I know like most of the people who listen are not subscribers. That's born out from not only our channel, but like most of the channels that are out there.
Every channel in the world, yeah.
Pretty much every channel. But even if you're not a subscriber, share it with somebody else, because if you like what we're doing, this helps us grow. And you know, it's nice to get feedback from folks. So share our work, hit us up. You know, we're sponsored by our motherfucking selves. So, we don't ask for nothing for people other than, to like and share. So I've said it enough times. I think they got it, you know,
that's the ending of every episode. That was very smoothly transitioned.
Yeah, beautiful. That's how it goes.
All right. The thing is, like, it's an interesting episode in the sense that it's an interesting one, 'cause it's kind of emotional.
Yeah, you know? It can be.
I like the feeling of this episode because it's coming from an emotional place.
Yeah, there's a through line here. This is a stream. You dip your finger or your toe or your whatever, but the stream's still running when you take it out.
Whatever body part you want to dip in there.
Yeah, it's whatever.
Free world. You're free. You're free to dip whatever part you want.
Do it.
That's a free universe.
That's it. All right, brother. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. Thanks, we'll continue next week. Fingers crossed, as long as we're still here. And we hope everybody has a good rest of your day or evening, whatever time you're listening to this. So for Eric, this is Daniel. We'll catch y'all on the next one. Peace. I want you to get together. I want you to get together one time. To get together. I want you to get together.